Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we were just talking off the air how my long weekend was and how apparently I'm now blind out of my left eye. How was your weekend, though?
It was pretty good. I'm doing some exciting things with Laker Film Room, trying to crank out more content. So I'm building a team behind me, of which I'm sure several of the listeners to Locked On are part of the application process. I'm really excited about it. So yeah, just been working on that, man. I did not partake in the alcoholic activities that I think you partook in, being that you're now half blind out of one eye for no explainable reason. That's probably an interesting story that I'd love to hear. But yeah, I got stuff done. It was more productive than relaxing, though.
If there was a story, I would give it to you. But
maybe that is the story, right? That you just woke up and
yeah, I just woke up this morning like, yeah. What the hell? All right. That's how the weekend went over here at the Irwin household. The Zayas household was a little bit more productive. I got to tell you guys, as somebody who knows a little bit about what Pete is talking about here, there's some really exciting stuff going on. I'm really proud of the work that Pete is going to be churning out. It's gonna turn out well. So more on that stuff, I'm sure, as the weeks and months and days will come forward. For today specifically, though, we are going to talk about the rookies. The Lakers have three, I guess, rookies by title, but they have two guys who might have a chance at actually impacting this Lakers team. So I'll mention Isaac Bonga in passing, I'm sure, over the course of the show. But we are going to mostly focus on Mo Wagner and Svi Mykhailiuk. Those will be the two guys that we think actually have a chance at doing stuff for the Lakers this year. Or maybe Pete disagrees. We'll see. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find us. As always with this series, today's show is brought to you by Eaze. Go to Eaze.co, eaze.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase. Let's dive on into this bad boy, though. You guys know where to find us. All right. We usually do this. We usually talk about what got the player to this point, right? So we can talk about Svi Mykhailiuk and Mo Wagner's careers in college to this point. Isaac Bonga we know a lot less about because he was overseas. But with those two in particular, Mo and Svi, I think they kind of follow this trend that the Lakers are going on here with, like, focus on guys who are parts of winning organizations or late college basketball programs are organizations at this point.
Yes.
So they want to target guys who did a lot of winning in college and were a big part of that winning over a few years, right? The development that they took, that they had in college, is not something that the Lakers have to worry about paying for as they get to the team here. Right. So which of those two guys, which college career did you take more note of as you were doing your research heading into this season?
Wagner's. He was the guy that improved more, at least outwardly, from his freshman season, where he had a fairly small role, to getting his team to the title game as a junior and being the most important part of that team. He really improved a lot over the course of his college career and developed into a nice, skilled big man that I have some concerns with him on the defensive end, but he flashed some potential in that way. And he was just a guy that got a lot better. Svi was more, I remember hearing about Svi for the first time when he was like 15 or 16 years old. He was one of those guys where he was hyped as like a potential future superstar. And he got to Kansas when he was 17 years old, and it never materialized quite in that way. And he was a solid contributor for them, but did not, you know, he was not the stud that he was portrayed to be. It was funny watching the Summer League and watching that on tape in review relative to Svi's college career, because you got to see some more things, specifically his ball handling and passing ability, that was more apparent if you watch him as a kid when he was like 16, 17, playing for the Ukrainian national team and in different settings internationally. you saw less of that at Kansas. And part of that is the system that Bill Self runs. So I have successfully talked myself into Svee being a, you know, mid first round caliber type of pick, and that had kind of these hidden skills that were not able to be, you know, shown at Kansas that made him drop to where he was. And that may be my perpetual, you know, there was that funny piece, that fan piece on predicting Locked On, right? Where I'm just constantly giddy after eating a gallon of cookie dough, right? Shouts to the dude that wrote that. But I have similar feelings about Svee as I did about Kuz last year. There are some things that you can either do or you can't, and Svee really showed that in summer league.
The thing that we've talked quite a bit about Svee, and there are actually minutes, like there's a way that you could see these minutes take place for Svee. And we'll talk about how both these guys, or all three of these guys, fit into the team dynamic in segment three. But I wanted to really quickly talk about Mo at the University of Michigan. I want to think that, like, I guess the criticism that I always have of some of the moves under Pelinka and Magic is that it's fairly easy to trace them back to either Magic or Pelinka. In this case, Pelinka is a University of Michigan guy. Mo is a University of Michigan guy. Even with Svee, they had their eye on Svee for a couple years, right? They were all in on him even the year before he became available to be drafted. And so I guess my question here is about creativity. Does the creativity even matter? Or, you know, like, if the guys that they are getting, drafting, trading for, signing, whatever, are productive, then the creativity, that's kind of a – it's neither here nor there kind of thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, it doesn't take creativity to get LeBron James, right, to sign him, right? But it takes a special skill. This is something that I've ranted on before, right, is like NBA Twitter can overvalue being clever. Mm-hmm. And, like, there are only a few people that I think – a guy like LeBron James would be like, yeah, I want to sign there. I want to hitch my wagon to that dude, right? Mm-hmm. And being one of those guys may not be the most clever thing, but it's a much rarer skill than it is to be able to, you know, find the hidden advantages and uncover them. So, yeah, I do think that creativity – I mean, Anthony, who wins NBA championships, right? It's right. It's LeBron and Kobe and Shaq. And, right. You know, like, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. Like, so yeah, I do think that's, you know, overrated. That said, the Lakers have done a wonderful job of finding guys in the draft specifically that are like, that dude's better than where he was drafted. So
yeah,
there's value in it. It's just like, that's the side dish, not the main course.
Yep. I would agree. And honestly, it's me mostly, like, I want to be all in on this front office, but I'm going to hold out on that until we actually see legitimate results. I think to this point, they've done a tremendous job in just about every way that you can ask for. And so because of that, I'm cool with, yeah, they have done great to this point. I'm also not going to go out there and say, we're set. Like, I've seen a lot of those tweets lately about, like, we're in a great place. We're in great hands here. And it's just it's a now matter of fact statement. And I think I want to see more results before I'm willing to go there.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. That's as it should be. We are, in my eyes, we are halfway through the process. This was always about getting two max guys. And we got one of them this summer, the most important one. You got your number one option guy. Mm-hmm. And then you got cap space to afford a second guy. And you've got great selling points, right? So it looks optimistic, but there are always places along the road where you can fall by the wayside. So, yeah, I'm very happy with what they've done so far. And I know you are too. It's just the job isn't done yet. And yeah, until it is, like, that's what's really going to determine their success or failure.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a quick second here, and we're going to look at some of the things that these guys should focus on individually in order to become just better overall basketball players. That'll be segment two. And then, as always with segment three, we'll look at these guys in the team dynamic. But first, couple quick seconds here to talk about Eaze. That's EAZE.co/lockedon. You have to be 21 or older to get $20 off your first purchase. They have everything through the app. They have access to all numbers of retailers. As we're seeing with most markets, people have certain brands that they prefer. They have access to all of the brands that you would hope to identify with. All kinds of products, oils, creams, pens, flowers, edibles, pre-rolls, and even some of those pet products. But again, always do your research here. And do research on the legality of this stuff too, because the one thing that you know if you're using Eaze is that you are always going to be set up to be 100% safe and secure by using their platform to connect you with retailers who are going about this industry the right way without cutting any corners that would put customers in any kind of liable situations as well. You can, again, hop onto Eaze.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase. It's safe. It's secure. They've created over 1,000 jobs to this point. They've improved lives. So if it's something that you're interested in doing, do the proper research. Hop on there to Eaze.co/lockedon or the Eaze app in the iTunes app store or whichever app store you prefer, and enter in the promo code Locked On to get $20 off your first purchase there. Another quick second here, and when we come back, we'll keep on talking about Mo and Svi. All right, so let's start with Mo here, because I think because Mo wasn't able to participate as much in Summer League, he's kind of fallen by the wayside in terms of the conversation surrounding the Lakers. But he does a lot of things that the Lakers kind of sort of have a need for, especially at his position. So what's one of the things that you're heading into the season really hoping to see from Mo in whatever moments that we might be able to catch from him?
I want to see Mo being able to shoot. I think that's the first area where he can provide value that none of the other Laker bigs, aside from like small ball lineups with LeBron at the five, of the conventional bigs that the Lakers have, I think that that's where he can shine the most. And if he's able to just knock down open shots, which he was able to do pretty well at Michigan, although he was better as a spot up guy than off of pick and pops, and pick and pops will be important with your LeBrons and your Rondos and guys like that. But if he can shoot, that is the first place where he will earn himself minutes in a way where it's like looking down the bench, oh, he can give us something at this spot that none of the other guys can. This is a developmental year for him in some respects, in that I think he needs to get his body in better shape. He was pushed around a bit by college bigs, and we saw that a bit in summer league as well. He has potential to be a guy who can switch. I really love his feet. I think he can slide his feet well and has the potential to stick with guys on the perimeter. But I just don't think he's in good enough shape yet to get to that point. But I think that he has more opportunity in that the center position or that spot, you know, it's positionless ball in a lot of ways, but he has more opportunity in that the guys ahead of him are not as good as are ahead of Svi. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's going to revolve around his ability to shoot.
The thing I like watching Mo shoot is that, like, sometimes with bigs, you'll see them release from three-point range, and it looks like a big shooting a three-pointer, right? It looks kind of long and cumbersome, and it's kind of a quirky release. With Mo, when he shoots from three, it looks like he's comfortable shooting from three. And that, yes, to me, with bigs, is kind of sort of the first step that you have to be able to take. Like, even Zubats has been working, and Larry Nance Jr. is like the ultimate example of this, where like it's a big who you say, oh yeah, we've been working on our shot, and then they shoot it from three and you just say, oh yeah, no, no, that's probably not going to come around. Mo isn't there.
Right. Yeah, he's much closer than we've seen from the other bigs. Now, I do think Zubats has some talent for it, and we saw it a little bit in the G League, but I also agree that it's a very long, cumbersome, wide open against drop coverage type of shot, where Mo has more. Like, Mo's got good feet, like I said, on defense, and part of that on the offensive end comes into play in terms of how quickly can you set your feet, mm-hmm, and get into a shooting motion. And he, like you put it perfectly, that he's just got a much more quicker and compact release than most bigs do.
Speaking of quick and compact releases, Svi is right there. Like, Svi,
oh yeah,
Svi's listening to this conversation about Mo. He's like, guys. Guys, hello. Yeah, way faster.
For sure.
But we've talked a ton about Svi's shot. to me, what I think is really going to keep him on the court is just not being a disaster on defense.
Yes.
And when you're looking at guys who he's going to be competing against in this rotation, he just if he's able to shoot the way that we've been able to see him shoot and also not be a disaster, he immediately vaults up the rotation, in my opinion.
That was a big determining factor of my opinion of him in terms of I had that piece come out today about how he deserves minutes in the rotation. And a big part of that was watching him in summer league and watching him off of the ball and his ability to slide his feet on the ball. That was something that Miles Simon was very complimentary of with him. I don't think he's going to be an all-NBA defender at any point in his career, but he was not bad. He was not somebody that I looked at and was like, his defense is going to keep him off of the court. Now, he has some ball handling ability and some shot creation that I spoke about earlier, but he's in many ways, he's a specialist who can do other things. And he's a specialist in a way that the Lakers really need guys that can just let it fly from wherever. Like he hit that one shot against Cleveland where his hips were facing the sideline and he like twisted midair 28 feet smooth in one motion, just knocked it down. He hit several shots like that. And that's something like you can either do it or you can't. Like, and I tweeted out yesterday this, you know, he did an inside out move between the legs crossover, then a recross back through the lead leg into a step back. Like how many knockdown shooters can do that in an empty gym, much less in an in-game scenario? So I think a lot of like our opinions on where guys should be in the rotation are based on where they were drafted and their experience. And in most cases, that's a valid way of looking at it. I think he's an exception to the rule guy that is a second round pick who could be a rotational guy on a good team early on.
I'm also the one thing that I think is really going to help Fee if he is successful in translating his shot over to what you're looking for in an NBA game is that because he's going to primarily be like, he's going to impact the game with his shooting, with his scoring. That's going to allow the conversation about him with more casual fans, like he's going to be a cult hero if he steps on the court and hits jumpers the way that we saw in summer league, because for a lot of fans who are going to be watching him play, that's really all that matters, right? Like for a rookie, he's like, wow me. And then he is capable of doing that wowing.
Absolutely. And you don't always have to be this great, well-rounded player that's a 7 out of 10 at everything. Like, if he's a 9 out of 10 as a shooter, the Lakers can provide the other skills. There are other guys that can do that. And I'm just envisioning, like, a LeBron, JaVale McGee pick and roll with Svi spotted up on the weak side, right? Mm-hmm. And just the gravity of those various guys. You got to tag hard on JaVale because that vertical plane is available for passes off of that pick and roll as he rolls to the basket. If that weak side guy is tagging hard off of Svi, that's a skip pass from LeBron to Svi, and Svi is just unbelievable on open shots. He was at Kansas, he was like 98th percentile or something ridiculous. Like he makes open shots. Or if you're worried about leaving Svi, then that creates opportunities for JaVale. So there are different levels of gravity for every player in that trio that I think that even though JaVale might not be the most well-rounded guy or Svi's not the most well-rounded guy, they fit with each other in a way that I think could be particularly devastating.
And not just for those three guys individually, as you're talking about in that concept, but the fourth or fifth guy on the court as well. If the ball goes over to if the defense tags on JaVale, that means they're a step further away to be able to help off of somebody who's catching that. Say it's Ingram who wants to attack a closeout or something or what have you. It's going to be there's going to be a ton of open space on those situations. We're veering and segueing very naturally into the third segment. So we're just gonna keep on talking about this here in a second. So let's just present it like this. Make the case for why Svi should get minutes over, say, Lance.
So in the second unit, like, I think Lonzo's going to start, right? But even if he doesn't, regardless of who the backup point guard is or what have you, I don't think that you need ball dominant guys. You're going to have – it's very possible that Kuzma is coming off of the bench, very possible that Rondo is in your second unit. if it is Rondo coming off of the bench, you give the ball to Rondo and you try to run and you give the ball to Kuz when you're, you know, he's your go-to scorer in that unit. Lance to me is a guy that fits the Iverson mold strictly stylistically, not in terms of quality, but from a, you need somebody that can create shots. You got four other guys who are really good on defense, but if you don't have that type of guy out on the court, you have a hard time creating shots. Mm-hmm. To me, that's where Lance has his most value, but the Lakers aren't that type of team. They have plenty of offense coming off of the bench, and what they need is guys who can finish the opportunities that some Lakers have. I think a very good bench this year can finish the opportunities. Like, say you got Svi at the two, like Rondo at the one, Svi at the two, and Josh Hart at the three, Kuzma and then
four.
At the four, right, and then Zubats or Wagner or somebody at the five. Like, that's a hell of a bench lineup that can finish the opportunities that guys like Rondo create with his passing, that opportunities that Kuzma's going to create going up against second unit guys that just can't guard him. That's way more valuable, Svi's ability to knock down those shots, than Lance's ability to create a shot in the first place, because Lakers already have those guys.
Mm-hmm. That I completely agree with all of that. And I would add to it that being a shooter in a second unit is all the more important, because nobody really game plans for the second unit, right? In an 82 game season, you game plan for maybe 3 or 4 points going into any certain game. I don't think very often teams are going to be focused on, all right, let's make sure Svi Mykhailiuk doesn't beat us here. And what that's going to do is he's going to have even more open shots against those second units. And it's going to be all the more valuable when or if he gets those opportunities and is able to convert them.
Very much so. Yeah, he's going to be open, because he's not necessarily the guy that creates the shot. So you try to plan for the guys that create the shots, mm-hmm. and then say maybe don't leave Svi off of that. But the problem is if you don't leave Svi, the Lakers have the type of talent coming off of the bench where just that gravity of don't leave him, don't tag off of him, creates opportunities for other guys, even though it'll never show up in the box score for Svi.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hart and Kuzma, I was really impressed by their abilities to finish last year. And if teams are going to say, all right, don't help off of him over there, well, then that's one fewer defender that those guys have to think about on their way to the basket.
And then you have a guy like Rondo, who's the one deciding which one of those finishers you hit it to, whether it's as a shooter or around the basket. Like, there's a lot of toys for him to play with against second units that are not like Lakers. 2 years ago, they had that squad where Lou Williams and Clarkson, Ingram was coming off the bench, Tariq Black, and I think Nance. There was this really lethal five-man group coming off of the bench. I expect similar degree of productivity from this group. This is a really good group that, you know, having Rondo being the guy orchestrating all of these pieces that can pick you apart, man, I'm really excited to see it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Mo Wagner. What do you think is the path by which he gets minutes here? Is it just Zubats's continues to be disappointing? Is it a needs thing on a night by night basis? Is it, obviously injuries would play a role in this anyway, but how do you spell out a way that Wagner earns himself minutes over the course of the year?
So the easiest path is through the shooting, I believe, and then he just needs to be okay defensively. You know how you mentioned that Svi was like, needs to not be a disaster.
Don't be a disaster, yeah.
Right. I feel the same way about Mo, although I am more skeptical about his ability to do that than I am with Svi. If he can be just an adequate defender, I think this is an area where Zubats is maybe a little bit underrated as a defender. He's not versatile, but in drop coverages and doing what he can do in terms of kind of just patrolling 4 or 5 feet around the basket, he's solid at that. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And he's got crazy, you know, standing reach and all that. And he uses those tools. So I think that Zu starts out from a significant advantage defensively over Wagner. But if Wagner can utilize his quickness, I don't think he's going to be a rim protector, although he did a good job of that in summer league, had great steal rates, great block rates. He's kind of like this really talented Mark Madsen type guy, right? That's just this total nut. All right, on the
time
court.
To see how Mo dances.
Right. Just this like total crazy man on the court, but he's not just that. He's got some skill to him. I love the energy that he plays with, and I think that that is something that, you know, can help get him on the court. I just think he's got a lot of technical work to do on the defensive end, and if he's able to bridge that gap over the course of his rookie year, amazing. I think that may be a little bit of an optimistic projection.
It's also harder for him to be an adequate defender than it is for Svi to be an adequate defender.
Great point.
Given the position he's playing, let's really quickly then talk about Isaac Bonga. I see him mostly as an untitled two-way player. He's going to spend the vast majority of his time with the South Bay Lakers. I keep on wanting to call them the Defenders, but the South Bay Lakers. He'll go down there and show what he can down. The thing that concerns me with Bonga is, like, we've talked a lot about some of the technique stuff from Svi and from Wagner in terms of defensive and stuff like that. I'm concerned about the tangible abilities that Bonga may or may not possess. The lateral quickness, the verticality. He's just not athletic enough for me to start to get excited about any kind of growth, because that's one of the starting places.
You're stealing my thunder. I thought I had a nice fresh angle where it's like, actually, I think I want to see more from Bonga athletically. But you said it, like, that's where I want to see him grow the most as well. Is he's got that, like, he's good in open space. He has a good feel for the game for a guy his size, good ball handling for a guy his size. But yeah, he's got to be able to plant his foot in the ground and get more than 3 inches of elevation. Mm-hmm. And like, there were some plays in the summer league where it's like, oh, that's really concerning that even at his age, you know, like, that's the one thing you're supposed to be able to do at that age is just be able to jump out of the gym, if nothing else. And even if he doesn't jump out of the gym, there were just times where he'd plant his foot and just barely be able to dunk it or be able to get up elevation up at the rim. And part of that is strength and conditioning, but part of that's just natural talent. So yeah, that's something that I think that's the biggest thing that I want to see, is can he athletically hang? Because I do think he has some that size and ball handling and feel combination. I see what they saw in some respects, but he can't be bad athletically if he's not able to shoot the ball particularly well. And I think he's a long way from being able to shoot the ball particularly well. So to me, it has to be a one or the other type of thing.
I thought it was really telling that he kept on traveling as much as he did in summer league. Yeah. It was just the game was too fast for him, and he was trying to play faster because he lacked some of that athleticism. So you take kind of the extra step to get a little extra momentum there, and he got caught doing it often enough that it was obvious enough as he was doing it that it was like, yeah, he's probably a year or two away from being a year or two away.
If I can maybe show a little bit of grace toward him in that, he stepped off of a plane one day, and I think they played the game that night or the next mm-hmm. day in a completely different country with, you know, like, there are a lot of, and it's what summer league feels longer than it actually is, because it's the only thing going on basketball wise. And it has been for a few weeks at that point.
Also, we're stuck in Vegas. So,
right. Right. So I think that he's a young kid and that showed up in America for the first time and there are other elements at play there where I know if that was me and I was 18 years old stepping off a plane in Germany and having to perform at the highest levels or the second highest level that there is in what I do, there could be some things that could knock me off of what I was capable of doing. So I'd like to see what Bonga looks like in his comfort zone, but he's very much a 2 years away from being 2 years away type of guy. Mm-hmm. But the Lakers invested in him in the contract that they gave him. So I'm curious to see what he looks like when it's just a normal everyday part of his routine type of thing, as opposed to what it was at summer league.
He's one of the few guys who's going to benefit from like playing on some random Thursday in a different city and being used to that kind of process and just kind of getting to focus only on basketball for a little while.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was a lot of fun. And look, if the Lakers are or were able to do this again and find some gold down here in this portions of the draft with, what was it, the 27th and 47th picks? Was that how it went?
It was – Wagner was 25th, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
So 25th and 47th. So if they were able to do that again – as the Lakers, I mean, we saw it. They already waived Deng so that they have access to as much cap space as possible next year. If you're going to build your team with superstars and they're going to take up the bulk of your cap, you need then to have younger guys outperforming their rookie contracts to be able to reach a Golden State-esque kind of plane here. And it's tough because not many rookies come in with anything close to those kinds of expectations drafted at those spots. But because the Lakers have developed this habit of being able to find guys like this, Spee's going to have those expectations. Wagner's going to have those expectations because we've seen it with Hart and we've seen it with Kuzma. It's going to be more obvious if they don't live up to even, while I would say mostly unfair expectations, it's going to be kind of obvious if they don't because of the success that the Lakers have had elsewhere. I think both of them are very, very much capable of doing it, though. So we'll see. We will be back over the course of this week. We are wrapping up this series, which was brought to you by Ease. I want to talk about Luke. I want to talk about this front office, looking ahead, all that stuff. And then we'll just have some fun with the rest of this offseason. So hang in there. We're into September. We're right around the corner from some of these preseason games. Thanks, Pete, for all your help throughout the series. Thanks to all of you guys for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.